warriors and soldiers. Like all the masters, Jai had also been trained in Fenru, but it wasn't the style of fighting he preferred. No, his father had taught him Fenlu, the art of defence, as a child. Now he was a master of both, something no one knew about him.
"Master Jiru,"
Falcon grunted.
"Falcon," Jai said.
The two brushed past each other without a second glance. It was no secret that Falcon wanted command of Garadia for himself. It was the most valuable mine in the Empire, after all. Jai shuddered to think what would happen to the slaves under the future Emperor's control. Then again, with Vin Hose's decree to increase diamond output by 10%, it didn't much matter who was the master of Garadia. Worked to the bone, most of the slaves would die anyway.
"Unless I do something about it," Jai thought.
He shook his head, ignoring the dark stares of the other two white-faced Hoser brothers, Fang and Fox, as he passed. There was nothing he could do. There were 5,000 slaves in Garadia, far too many to escape with. And even if he did, they'd be hunted down and killed for desertion one by one, along with him. He wouldn't let them suffer more. He couldn't.
"Maybe there's another way," he thought.
An idea appeared and then vanished, evading him. It had to do with a story his father once told him. A story about the Southron gates. He squinted as he left the palace and emerged into the oven that was the city of Fania. He'd once heard someone say that the sun was different in the south, fierier, that the brazen sun rose earlier in the south than anywhere else in the Four Kingdoms, assaulting the horizon like an invading army of fire-bearing warriors. To Jai, however, the sun was just the sun, an oppressive, sweltering yellow orb. And there was nowhere hotter than Fania, which was formed of stone canyons cut in perfect corridors beneath the surface of the desert, creating underground blocks. Although the canyons were straight and narrow, connecting into large squares, it was said the city was built by the gods, not men or nature, cut into the earth long before the Phoenicians arrived in these lands.
"If so," thought Jai, "the gods are trying to cook us alive."
Although the tall cliffs provided plenty of shade, the stone canyons tended to trap the heat rather than deflect it, creating a superheated box where everything seemed to move slower. He cupped a hand over his brow to block the sun, and made his way to his chariot, which awaited his return. Along the way, he passed dozens of statues lining the pathway, which was constructed of crushed crystal, scattered underfoot like gravel. The Phoenicians loved their statues, which were carved in the images of their past emperors, including Vin Hose's father, Jin. On the walls of the canyons were even larger statues, cut into the face of the stone wall itself, massive busts of the Hose dynasty. Jai ignored their stares, which seemed to burn right through him. When he reached the chariot, a slave driver stood ready, expecting orders. Jai climbed aboard.
"To Garadia," he said,
and the driver cracked his whip. He glanced back at Axa, who was trying not to choke on the dust left in the chariot's wake.
"You will walk back to Garadia Mine," he commanded.
The new slave began to walk. Palace slaves toiling in the heat looked up as he passed, but, fearing the lash of their masters, just as quickly lowered their heads. Each were branded with the same chain marking Axa now wore. Most of them were full Terrans, having been taken from the southern nation of Terragon, which was located across the burning sea. The Terran slaves' skin was red, and their black eyes were round. Once they likely had bright blue eyes, but not any more. Probably never again. The women had long, coppery hair, while the men's hair was shorn to the scalp. Traditionally, it was the opposite. Terran men wore their hair long, usually braided, while the women preferred shorter hair. However, as soon as the Terrans were enslaved, the Phoenician slave masters forced them to adapt to their own customs. Mixed amongst them was the occasional dreadnoughter, the strange folk from the Calypsian Islands, with their broad, flat foreheads and grizzled grey skin. There weren't as many of them, however, as ever since the Southron Civil War had begun 12 years earlier, Vinhosa no longer had naval access to the dreadnoughts due to the blockade enacted by Empress Sun Sands.
Jai tried not to think about the slaves, though his heel was on fire. Ever since he'd been a young boy, Jai Giroo had known the meaning of truth and justice. It was bred into him, into the mark on his heel, into his head, his heart. He could tell when someone was lying. He could sense when a great inequality was being dealt. In Fania, in the presence of the slaves, he sensed it all the time. Void. He'd felt it in his own household, which had several slaves, including her. The thought made him grit his teeth and clutch the side of the chariot harder. After his father was killed, Jai had come up with an insane plan. He'd trained to be a master of slaves, working his way from field lord to house lord to mine master. And then, because of his success, he'd been promoted to master of Garadia. Miraculously, his plan had worked. He was finally in a position to do something, to help someone, and yet he felt more helpless than ever. They emerged into the inner city, where the wealthy took up residence in large caverns cut into the rock face. Some of the most lavish living quarters even had water that cascaded down the walls, cooling the caves. In the shade of the narrow canyon, men and women strutted like peacocks on the streets, regaling themselves with mindless chatter, used as an excuse to display their finest silk clothes and blood jewellery, much of which was sewn into their faces and skin. Both the males and females had powdered faces, a Phoenician tradition that had begun when the first Terran slaves were brought across the Burning Sea. It was an attempt by the people of Fanes to differentiate themselves even further from the slaves, though Jai found it rather ridiculous. Most Phoenician skin was naturally brown, while the Terran's skin carried a reddish hue. Their eyes were different, too, the slaves, wide and round, versus the thin, narrow eyes of their masters. In the canyons of Fania, the people ate delicacies sold by middle-class vendors with permanent stone platforms that lined the road. Grasshoppers and caterpillars were roasted in oil squeezed from grumnuts, a sweet nut that grew on lush, brown trees that thrived in the shade of the canyons. Smoke rose from a stone pit where a long green pison roasted on a spit, a bald Terran slave boy turning it slowly by hand to ensure the rubbery meat cooked evenly. A group of women practiced the art of Fen Sir, the final of the three martial arts, which was named after the sun goddess herself. Fen Sir was considered a feminine art, more like a dance than a way of fighting, and was used mostly in ceremonies and celebrations. The women moved together, aiming high kicks at the sky and lithely springing off their hands. Jai looked away, because watching the dance of the sun god always reminded him of his mother. And then the chariot moved beyond into the outer city, slave quarters flashing by on either side. The slaves, who were primarily red-skinned Terrans, lived in tiny cubicles cut into the stone walls, stacked on top of each other like hollow blocks, stretching nearly all the way to the surface. From afar, the slave residences resembled long grey honeycombs rolled out along the canyon walls. Those who lived above ground had to climb narrow, crumbling stone steps to reach their beds. Sometimes one of them would slip and fall to their death, though their Phoenician masters seemed to care little and less about these unfortunate tragedies. Slaves were easily replaceable, and it would be costly to repair the steps. Jai trained his gaze firmly ahead, afraid of what he might do if he saw more suffering, more hardship. No, he needed to be smart when he finally chose to act. Or maybe he was just making excuses. He wasn't certain anymore. The canyons of the gods ended, and Jai pulled the hood of his cloak over his head to block the harsh sunlight. Yet, despite the heat, he felt cooler outside the city. He felt like he could breathe again. Without the city, the landscape was a burnt wasteland of imposing plateaus, carved earth, and red buttresses rising against the cloudless sky. Axa would be lucky to survive the journey on foot, or unlucky, depending on the perspective. Far into the distance was an enormous rock, Garadia Mine, named after the man who discovered the secrets inside it, the wealth beyond measure. The chariot followed the well-worn path across the rocky landscape, spitting up clouds of dust from its brass wheels.
Lost in the monotony of the desert landscape, Jai's thoughts from earlier came back to him. The memory of a story told by his father, who had fought in several battles against the west along the Southron gates. How the wall had once crumbled on the eastern side after being hit by a barrage of projectiles and several battering rams. Evidently in his haste, the emperor at the time, Jin Hoser, Vin's father, had patched together a repair team that left the inner core of the wall empty, a series of tunnels through the wall. By all appearances from the exterior, the wall looked as solid as a mountain, but according to Jai's father, was a breach waiting to happen.
But how can I use this knowledge?
Jai wondered. Even if he could sneak a small group of slaves from the mine, they would still have to traverse the desert from Fenir to the Bloody Canyons, face the rugged terrain and vultures known to nest in the canyons themselves, and then slip past one of the border towns, Susa preferably, because it was the easternmost city, closest to the rumored weakness in the wall. Jai knew he'd be sentencing them all to death, both the people he took and the ones he left behind. Is doing nothing worse? Is a life of hardship and forced labor worse than death?
Yes, he whispered. Master,
the slave driver said, thinking he'd been issued a command.
Drive on for Garadia,
Jai muttered. Of course, the slave obeyed.
If you enjoyed this audiobook, let us know. Take a quick moment to rate and review it on Audible, so we know we're bringing you audiobooks you'll love.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.